may have been thinking about getting an electric pressure cooker. Lots of people have. And today we'll be talking about why they're so popular and how to cook with them. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. On the phone with me from San Francisco is Coco Maranti. She is a recipe developer and food blogger who runs the popular Instant Pot Recipes Facebook page and authors the blog LeftySpoon.com. Her new book is called The Essential Instant Pot Cookbook, Fresh and Foolproof Recipes for Your Electric Pressure Cooker. It's a really informative book and has some great-sounding recipes, for sure. You may have some questions about cooking with an electric pressure cooker. Have you been using one? How do you like it? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, or you can also post a question or comment on our Facebook page. Just look for The Larry Mueller Show. And Coco Maranti, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I was surprised to learn that you are a classically trained soprano. How did that get you into writing about cooking?
Oh my gosh, I know. It sounds a little bit like an unrelated field. I think music and cooking kind of go hand in hand. My background is in classical voice. I have my degrees in music and classical vocal performance. But when I was in school, I was always cooking for my friends. In undergrad, I would share all my recipes in Facebook notes. And after years of friends sort of egging me on, I started a food blog, which led to this freelance food writing career that I love doing so much now.
Well, it's pretty cool. Tell us what an electric pressure cooker is and how it differs from the old traditional regular pressure cooker.
Sure, yeah. So it works by the same mechanism. Steam allows the pressure cooker to heat up and seal so that it can cook foods much faster. But what differentiates the electric pressure cookers are the pre-programmed settings. You can basically press a button based on whatever food you're cooking, and it does a lot of the work for you. And also, you can just walk away after you press a button. So it's much safer and easier to use than a traditional stovetop pressure cooker.
Yeah. How did you happen to start using one?
A couple of my fellow food writer friends who I meet up with weekly were obsessed with their Instant Pot. So, a few years ago, my friend Michelle, who writes the blog Nom Nom Paleo, and my friend Danielle C., who's a freelance food photographer and runs a supper club here in the Bay Area called Tapestry Suppers, the two of them were just nuts about their Instant Pots, and so I put one on my holiday wish list, and it ended up under the tree.
Very, very cool. Well, I tell you, I have a friend who... I have her and her two kids over for dinner pretty often, and she was such a proponent of it that she said, "Well, let me cook next time." And she brought her Instant Pot over, and cooked a meal. And I must say, it was a pretty easy process to use.
Yeah, they're really, it can be a little bit intimidating when you look at the panel of buttons at first, but once you start using one, it's really easy. What did you have for dinner that night?
Oh, some beans, some sort of beans and meat dish. It was really good. As soon as I blurted that out, I thought, oh, she's going to ask me what it was. But it was really good. I know that for sure. Oh, man. Amanda on Facebook says she just got one, but hasn't used it much as she has wanted to, and she's excited to learn more about it. Do you find that to be kind of the case? People buy one, and then they kind of sit and stare at it for a while before they use it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get that question on my Facebook page all the time. People say, I got one, and I haven't taken it out of the box yet. I'm a little scared to use it, and what I always recommend is going on YouTube there are tons of home cooks who have posted videos using their Instant Pots, and I find that that's a really great way to sort of, you know, see somebody using one. It's a lot less intimidating when you check that out.
So yeah,
I would recommend going on YouTube and searching for Instant Pot videos.
So, Amanda, after the show, go to listen for now, but then you can go later and watch watch people doing it live. Susan called to ask what the inside of the pot is made out of.
Ah, sure.
Maybe just talk in general about how they're put together.
Yeah, the pot, it consists of three main parts. There's the outer housing, which has all of the buttons and settings that you press. There's a lid, and then there's an inner pot, which is stainless steel. It doesn't have a nonstick coating, which actually I think is great because it never wears down. I've had mine for 3 years, and it still cleans up just like new. So it's really sturdy and well-constructed.
And there are one of the things I liked about your book was all of the sort of accoutrements or extras that may make using one better.
Right. Yeah. So it's like a whole industry that's formed around the Instant Pot. Instant Pot accessories. So you'll find that if you want to make things other than like your basic soups and stews, it's helpful to have some small pans and other heat-safe containers and like a steamer basket, things that'll fit inside the Instant Pot so that you can use it for smaller batches or steaming cakes or meatloaves, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Our guest today, Coco Morante, is a recipe developer and author of The Essential Instant Pot Cookbook. And love to hear from you. Do you use pressure cookers? What have the results been? Would you like to know about converting your favorite recipes? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, titled The Larry Mueller Show. This is your first book, isn't it? I wondered how it came about.
That's correct, yes. So I've had the idea in mind for a couple of years to write an Instant Pot cookbook. It just made sense with the community that that I've built on Facebook, on my Instant Pot recipes page. They were clamoring for a good cookbook to use with their Instant Pot. So I was thinking of self-publishing one, but then the stars aligned and my editor at Simply Recipes put me in touch with 10 Speed Press, because they were looking for somebody to write an Instant Pot cookbook. So it just turned out that I was there and had a whole concept in mind and was able to work with them to produce this beautiful book, which I could not have done on my own. They've done such a gorgeous job with it.
Oh, yeah, and the food photography in there is really great. I always love recipe books with great pictures of at least some of the dishes, and they certainly did a nice job. A long process for you to put this book together?
Well, it was a long time in planning, but the actual execution was kind of in turbo. I was cooking until 2 a.m. lots of nights, getting my friends to test all kinds of recipes, and it came together over about 4 months of just lots and lots of Instant Pot cooking.
So did you use your friends to decide on the recipes that you were going to use? You have a broad array. Maybe you can explain how that book is organized at the same time.
Sure. So a lot of the recipes were inspired by requests from people on my Facebook page. I actually just kind of put out a call and asked, what sorts of things would you like to see in an Instant Pot cookbook? And that was so, so helpful. I also cooked a lot of things that were inspired by my travels or restaurant dishes that I love. So it's sort of an eclectic mix of real food recipes cooked with mostly unprocessed ingredients. That was another big ask from my Facebook fans. And as far as how the book is organized, it's divided up into, let's see, we've got 7 chapters and an extra section full of pantry basics that you can use to sort of cook staples that'll help you make the other recipes more quickly.
Let's take another call here. Carolyn DePeer, thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have not heard of these Instant Pots or electric pots. I don't know where I've been in the last couple of years, but I'm not aware of it. But I have a concern because I have a vision problem. I'm basically blind, and I wonder if it's, when you said a panel of buttons, it can be confusing. Are they buttons you feel, or is it a flat panel like so many of our electronics now are flat panel, make it difficult for someone who can't read and feel a difference to use?
Oh, interesting.
That's a great question. There are a couple of different models of Instant Pot. If you're looking for something that has raised buttons, I would go with something from the Duo line rather than the Ultra, which is a totally flat panel screen.
Okay, great. Thank you. And is that available in most places?
Let's see. I know Williams-Sonoma carries the latest in the Duo line, and they are also available on Amazon. Really easy to find on there.
Great. Thank you so much for your help.
Yeah, thanks so much
You're welcome.
You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You develop these recipes using the Instant Pot, of course, the electric pressure cooker. Do they work for with other brands as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of the recipes call for pressing a specific program button, but you really can cook just about anything on a pressure cooker's manual setting if it's another model of electric pressure cooker. Most of them can toggle between high and low pressure, and the majority of the recipes in my book can be cooked on the manual high pressure setting of any pressure cooker, or on the stovetop as well. If you're using a stovetop pressure cooker, the timing would be about 15% faster than in an electric. They go a little bit faster.
No. Miss G in Madison wonders if there's an adjustment for high altitude.
Let's see. The smart Instant Pot, as I understand it, does have settings that you can adjust for that. So I don't have much experience. I live here at sea level in the Bay Area. But if anyone else has done that, I would love more information on high altitude cooking.
Well, I bet we'll get some comments on that. By the way, if you have a comment on that or any other question, give a call at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer, as we visit with Coco Morante, a recipe developer and author of the Essential Instant Pot Cookbook, here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45 today, we'll talk about Hurricane Harvey and other weather issues with one of our weather guys, John Martin. But right now, taking a look at electric pressure cookers with Coco Morante, author of the Essential Instant Pot Cookbook. Join in, 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Rosemary in Mauston, Wisconsin, has something for us. Rosemary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. I have a comment and a question also. I have a regular stovetop pressure cooker, which I've had for years and absolutely love it. And as a matter of fact, this morning I'm making some stock out of some cobs from corn because I'm making some corn chowder today, which is always really, really good. The question I have, though, for Coco is making stuffed peppers in a pressure cooker. Do you tr- treat the peppers first, as my mom did, with parboiling the peppers first before you stuff them? And how long would you put the peppers in the pressure cooker for?
Hi, Rosemary. That's a great question. I actually just worked on a stuffed peppers recipe for simplyrecipes.com. I do a lot of work for them, so that's coming up in the next month or two. I would say you don't have to par cook the peppers. Pressure cooking is already pretty, as you know, for using a stovetop cooker, pretty forceful way of steaming vegetables, right? So you want to preserve their texture as much as possible before steaming them. And let's see, I'm just checking out my recipe here.
You've got several that involve peppers for sure.
Yes, yes. It's particularly tricky to get the timing right with stuffed peppers because they have to remain firm enough to stand upright and hold in all the fillings.
Yeah. That was the problem with mine when I did try to make them. I was scooping them out, but I did pre-treat the peppers first, so I'm glad to find out that I don't have to.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I would say 15 minutes. In an instant pot was what I found to be a good amount of time. And on a stovetop, I would reduce that to 12 minutes at high pressure.
Very good, then.
All right.
Thank you so much, Coco.
Thank you, Rosemary. Jane in Manitowoc, we'll go to you next. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been using the instant electric pressure cooker for probably 5-6 years, and it's gotten to the point where we've given it away to my mother-in-law and given another one to my sister-in-law. Each one of them was impressed. But I love the idea of being able to throw in a frozen roast and then cook it with some red wine and whatnot, and then a few hours later just be able to throw in the potatoes and carrots and have a great stew.
Mmm. What do you think? You throw in a frozen roast. Well, actually, you must be able to because Jane does it.
That's true. QED. I think if you have successfully done that before, I mean, hats off to you. I prefer to cook with smaller pieces of frozen meat if I'm putting something in directly from the freezer. I find that the cooking is better and more even that way. In my book, I do have a little primer on my favorite ways to use the pressure cooker with frozen meats. Yeah, sounds delicious.
It pushes the juice right into the meat. Now, I'm curious, Coco, would you consider looking into the sous vide cooking? Because we've been doing that now for about 2 years, and it's got a lot of advantages when you're just cooking meat.
Yeah, we actually love sous vide cooking. My husband isn't a cook most of the time, but he is into gadgets. He's a software engineer, techie guy, and he loves the sous vide. That was the one thing he knew how to use in the kitchen before we met.
So it's something that works out great, obviously. Are there things... Well, let me put it this way. What things don't you like to put in the Instant Pot or in a pressure cooker?
Sure. Let's see. Anything that you want to be really crispy, I would say the pressure cooker is not the tool for that.
Mm-hmm.
So since it cooks things by steam, you won't end up with, like, crispy potatoes or a crispy skin on your chicken unless you run it under the broiler afterwards. I also would avoid cooking really delicate things, like you don't want to cook shrimp under pressure, though they can be cooked on the sauté setting, and delicate fish fillets I prefer to do in a nonstick skillet for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. We have more callers online. I was wondering about the crock pot part of it, which... You know, I've got all of these different appliances, and I use my crock pot a lot. I make an upside down pineapple upside down cake in it, and sometimes I do bread in the crock pot. I've got a lined a little pot that goes inside the crock pot that can make that. But it would be handy to have something, an appliance, where that was the only thing you had up on the counter and you didn't have to drag the crock pot out every time.
Yeah, absolutely. The Instant Pot does have a slow cook function with sort of low, medium, and high settings that correspond to what you would normally find on a regular slow cooker. So you can absolutely use it for that.
Have you used it that way and with good results?
I've used it a little bit. I would recommend it like for something like a bread, that would work really well. I find that the heat is less even than in a crock pot because you've got a heating element on the bottom of a stainless steel pot as opposed to like a crock that conducts the heat more evenly around the bottom and sides. So I do prefer mine for the pressure cooker setting. It's convenient though because it'll stay on keep warm after it's done. So you can even just adapt slow cooker recipes and then they'll stay warm for up to 10 hours once they're finished cooking.
Hmm. Let's turn to Jeff in La Crosse next. Jeff, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering which, I've never used a pressure cooker, and so I'm wondering which pressure cooker would be the most versatile and easy to use.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, there are a ton of different models, so I can appreciate you're asking that question. I like the two latest 6-quart models of the Instant Pot. They have one that has a universal dial and is kind of a more slick looking mm-hmm. interface. That's the Ultra. And they also have one that has programmed buttons on the front, the Duo 60 Plus. Either of those are the sort of the latest models with the most up-to-date settings, and I would recommend either of those. I think the 6-quart size is really the most versatile one.
Yeah.
What was that brand again, please?
Yeah. It's called an Instant Pot.
Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Beth on Facebook says she loves her Instant Pot. She actually has two of them.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if she has maybe she entertains a lot, or maybe she has a large family. Any tips for using the, mini 3-quart Instant Pot?
Yeah, it's so cute.
So she probably has a 6-quart and a 3-quart, I'll bet.
Yeah, I like the 3-quarts for cooking side dishes when I have something else going in the Instant Pot in the 6-quart model. So, for instance, you could cook some rice in the smaller one while you have a large roast or, you know, pulled pork or something else in the bigger pot, or whole chicken. It's great for that.
What can you expect? Let's go back to sort of the basics. You talked a little about this, but what can you expect to see when you take your Instant Pot or pressure cooker out of the box? From the photos, it looks like there are a lot of control variations.
Yeah. So, of course, the first thing I recommend doing is taking a look at that manual.
Yeah.
I know not everybody likes to read the manual, but it's a good place to start. You'll find that there's a lid, which has a pressure release as well as a float valve that, will float into into like its raised position when the pot is sealed. That's probably the most, tricky part, is kind of knowing when the pot is sealed or when to release the pressure, and studying the diagrams and reading about how the lid works. I think it's going to be the most important thing to start.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned releasing pressure, and there's two ways to do it. There's the quick way and the natural way. Talk about when you would use the quick way and when you would use the natural way of releasing pressure.
Yeah. So the quick pressure release is great for when you're steaming vegetables or other delicate things that you can imagine, if you left them on a hot stove longer they would end up overcooking. So something like when I'm cooking broccoli, if I'm steaming broccoli or artichokes, I'll use the quick pressure release so that I can get a really precise cook time and then get it out of the pot quickly. You can also use the quick pressure release if you're cooking any recipe that doesn't have a ton of liquid. So something like a pot roast with, you know, you start with maybe a cup of broth. You could release the pressure on that really quickly without any safety issues. For the natural pressure release, I use that for foods that would tend to sputter or foam, things like beans or oatmeal. You definitely want to let the pressure release naturally on those. If you quick pressure release, you might end up with a mess on your kitchen cabinet. Not that I would know anything about that.
And how long does the natural way take?
It depends on the volume of food in the pot. So if you've done something with a relatively small amount of liquid, not too much food, maybe hard-boiled eggs, the natural pressure release can take as little as 10 minutes. If you've cooked a large pot of stock all the way up to two-thirds full in the pot, it might take more like 30 to 35 minutes to release.
And you mentioned putting a cup of liquid in something, and I think that is I think you say in your book that you need to have at least a cup of liquid in order for the pot to seal. Is that correct?
Right. Yes, I've seen people get away with a little bit less, depending on whether your ingredients release a lot of liquid as they cook. But for pressure cooking, in any kind of pressure cooker, not just the Instant Pot, you do need enough liquid for the pot to have enough steam to allow the float valve to pop up and the gasket to seal the pot properly while it's cooking.
Katie in Mayville has a question. Katie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I would like to know what would be the best Instapot to get a young man living by himself.
Okay, a single guy.
Right.
Sure. Well, let's see. Does he like to prepare meals in advance?
No, he likes to come home. He has a part-time job, and he's going to school, and he likes to come home and make something fairly healthy quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I would recommend he could either get the brand new Mini, if he's mostly cooking for himself. That's great for cooking, you know, one or two servings of food at a time. If he's interested in having leftovers, I might go with the 6-quart model, either the Duo Plus or the Ultra. So I think those would be his best options.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Call in with your questions or maybe experiences using your pressure cooker. Or if you don't have one, want to know more, give a call. 1-800-642-1234. Terry on Facebook wonders, what's the difference between a pressure cooker and a pressure canner? Can you use one for both?
Yeah, so the Instant Pot and all electric pressure cookers do not get up to as high of a pressure setting as a pressure canner. So if you're doing any kind of canning, I would not recommend using the Instant Pot for recipes that are low acid that would otherwise require a pressure canner. You can do things like jams and jellies or canned tomatoes, high acid, high sugar foods. But pressure canning is a whole other animal. It gets the pot up to a few more pounds per square inch, which really helps to sterilize low acid canning foods.
Yeah. And so the reverse of that, the pressure canner, you would or would not use it for other kinds of cooking?
Well, they're usually very large.
Yeah.
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 So
they are indeed.
One caveat.
Natalie on Facebook says she made a wonderful chicken stock with, she took a frozen whole chicken, added carrots, celery, onion, thyme, parsley, and water, and the flavor was amazing.
That's great. Man, you have these listeners who are such wizards with their frozen foods in the pressure cooker. I want to know exactly what they did.
Well, Terry, you're going to have to send a note to Coco on maybe on your one of your pages, Coco, and what are your pages again? I've forgotten already. Well, I have it in front of me somewhere, but I just can't locate it on the, at the moment.
Yeah, no problem. A great place to find me and send me a message is on facebook.com/instantpotrecipes. You can either put up a visitor post or just send me a direct message on the page. And I also write a blog called leftyspoon.com, so you can find my other recipes there, Instant Pot and otherwise.
One of the most helpful pages is the one telling readers how to convert recipes for the electric pressure cooker. And you, there you talk again about what type of cooking is not a good fit. What are some things to think about when converting recipes?
Sure. So most slow cooker recipes are great candidates for converting for the Instant Pot. Things like soups, stews, great food, anything that's like a total go-to slow cooker or, you know, Dutch oven recipe. Those are great for pressure cooking usually. The main thing to keep in mind is making sure that there's enough liquid to get the pot up to pressure. So pretty much if your recipe has a cup of liquid or more, then it's good to go, and you can just figure out which pre-programmed setting would be the best one to select for that dish. If your recipe doesn't have enough liquid, you'll either need to add some more, at least a cup, or you'll always need to do that.
Yeah, sure.
But if it's something that you don't want to be really liquidy at the end, you might have to boil off some liquid once it's finished cooking, which you can do on the saute setting of the pot.
No. Karina on Facebook says, now this might sound silly, but she is scared to use hers. She saw one explode as a child.
Oh, that's not uncommon at all. The stovetop pressure cookers were definitely terrifying. You are justified. The electric ones are much safer. They don't have that super loud rocking pressure regulator on top. You can hardly even tell they're on. It's a much, much safer, less intimidating way to pressure cook. I can totally relate. My dad used to cook artichokes when I was a kid in a stovetop pressure cooker, and I would just steer clear of that thing. So right there with you.
But the electrics, have you ever heard of one exploding?
I have not. The only thing to keep in mind is if you have foods that would tend to foam up a lot is to let the pressure release naturally. And that'll prevent any kind of like messes or food sort of spurting out the release valve.
John in Rice Lake has a question. Let's go there. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My question, I have an electric pressure cooker that is not an Instant Pot. It's a different brand, and it has buttons for, say, fish or chicken or beef. However, I'm not sure if they're all the same temperature and pressure, but just a different time, or if they cook at different temperatures and pressures for different settings, depending on the meat.
Sure. Well, I'm not super familiar with all of the settings of other brands of electric pressure cookers, but I can tell you that on the Instant Pot, most of the settings for cooking proteins are pretty similar. They might have a slightly different ramp up as far as the temperature goes, but those ones are pretty standard in how they work. The only difference, like the major difference really, would be the timing, and you can even adjust that manually. The settings that do differ more on the Instant Pot are things like culturing yogurt, which is at a much lower temperature without pressure. And then it also has a rice setting that automatically calibrates and a multi-grain setting that has really steady, even heat.
There we go. Thank you very much for calling. We haven't even talked about your recipes. One that caught my eye right off the bat was hard-boiled eggs. Why would you use an Instant Pot for that?
Well, it's so easy, right? So if you're cooking hard-boiled eggs on the stove, you have to watch the pot to make sure that the water's boiling. Or if you've added the eggs in the cold water, you have to make sure you turn it down so it doesn't boil over once it starts simmering. Whereas in the Instant Pot, you can just pour in the water, put in the eggs, press the egg or manual button, and walk away. It's really convenient for that. My editor, Emma, at Simply Recipes told me yesterday that she pretty much exclusively uses her Instant Pot for hard-boiled eggs all the time.
Yeah, I've got a tried and true, you put it in cold water, wait till the water gets up to a boil, then turn the heat off, and then wait 12 minutes or what. I think that's what I do. But
yeah.
This sounds like it might be an easier way to do it.
It is. Yeah, there are all kinds of different ways to successfully hard-boil eggs, and most people really like this one method that's referred to as the 5-5-5 method, because the pot takes about 5 minutes to get up to pressure. They cook on the steam or manual function for 5 minutes, and then you let the pressure release naturally for 5 minutes before opening the pot. So no-brainer there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. Well, and you've got the whole range. I mean, you've got everything from pretty much appetizers to desserts. You had some really good-sounding recipes for desserts. Were you surprised that you could make cake in an electric pressure cooker?
Yeah, definitely. One of the most popular kinds of recipes that that I post on my page from other bloggers are cheesecakes. If you search for Instant Pot cheesecakes online, you'll find so many of them. And I worked really hard to make a couple of really foolproof recipes for that. They just steam up perfectly. They're super moist, and it's really hard to dry out or overcook a cake in the pressure cooker. It's great for that.
Well, Coco, it's been a lot of fun talking with you today, and I hope we can do this again. It was a lot of fun, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again. Maybe we can spend more time talking about recipes.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Coco Moranti is a recipe developer, food blogger, who runs the popular Instant Pot Recipes Facebook page and authors the blog LeftySpoon.com. So you can go there. And for her book is called The Essential Instant Pot Cookbook, again by Coco Morante, our guest today on the show. A lot of fun talking with her, and I haven't gotten one of those yet, but I think I'm about talked into it, and it'll be nice to have her cookbook, a copy of her cookbook in hand when it arrives on my doorstep, or when I get to the store to buy one. Well, coming up, we got Hurricane Harvey going strong, and we've got all kinds of weather things we can talk about. John Martin, one of our weather guys, with us today to talk weather and hurricanes and a whole lot more. Next on the Ideas Network.